Father, right now, I seek your face. Holy Spirit, I ask you to accomplish your will this day in the lives and hearts of your people. I thank you because you are all in all. Lord, you know what you're doing. You're the head over all things to the church. And Lord, we're trusting in your grace this morning. We're trusting in your anointing, Lord, to bring about that which you purpose this day. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for all you have done for us. And all you are to us. And Lord, we just commit our ways into your hands right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Left Behind. Left Behind. You know, we're living in very dangerous times. It seems like our whole world is falling apart. And wickedness abounds more and more and more and more. You see it all, every place you turn. And it seems to be accelerating at a real scary pace. There are earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, disasters, uprisings, and all of these things kind of tend to make us think we're living in the last days. And when you look at Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream found in Daniel chapter 2, I'm not going to be going there, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in this dream he saw this huge statue, and it had a head of fine gold, it had a chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs were of bronze, its legs were of iron, and its feet were partly of iron and partly of clay. And according to Daniel, this represented the kingdoms of the world that would be coming upon this earth. And Nebuchadnezzar was that head of gold. And there were other kingdoms that were going to be inferior to his that would be coming down the pike. And we can see from that we're already in these last days. Because all of those kingdoms have appeared over the years. And they've been wiped out. Until we are now living in the final one before the end. That's the feet of partly iron and partly clay. And we're waiting for a stone cut out without hands that will crush all those kingdoms and will issue in a final kingdom of God that shall last forever. You know, don't figure, okay, well, we've got, that's been thousands of years now, you know. No, don't figure that at all. We're right at the door, right at the door. So there's a battle that's been going on between good and evil. I'm sure everyone recognizes that. The devil knows his time is short and that he cannot defeat God. So what does he do? He goes after God's people. He goes after God's people. And he tries to destroy man, whom God created for fellowship, and he gets back at God in this manner. Okay, what would you do if you had an enemy that would go after your kids and try to take them out? Yeah. What do you think you're going to do? Look out, buddy, you're in trouble. Right. What do you think God's going to do when the devil goes after his kids? And you know, his goal is to destroy man. He can't wipe out God, but he can try to destroy man through lies, innuendos, and he wants to end them up. He wants to have them go to the lake of fire forever. He's called the accuser of the brethren. And it's interesting that when God created mankind, he allowed Satan and his forces to access to man to tempt them. And I'm sure some of the other angels were saying, God, why are you allowing the devil to tempt man? Why are you allowing the devil to interfere with your creation? But the problem is, see, he gave man a freedom of choice. A freedom of choice. To believe God and his word or to believe Satan and his lies. So there had to be a choice there. You know, he didn't create us as robots, you know, that we're just automatically going to praise the Lord. No, He gave you the opportunity to do that if you wish, or the opportunity to go against God if you wish. And the reason is to allow mankind to choose God on their own will and to serve God because they want to serve God. That was the purpose of it. And so you're not forced to love God or serve Him. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord." We're serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Satan is actually providing the alternative choice for people to prove whether they want to serve God or not. Man is the one who chooses whether you're going to go to hell or not. Did you know that? Man is the one that chooses whether you're going to go to hell or not. Because if you don't choose God, you're automatically choosing the other. I'm going to go into that. Now, there's an interesting parallel that I saw between God and the devil. And if you look at Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It said, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" Now think about that. You know, the devil has to give an account, too. And he had to appear before God. And he had to give account. And the Lord asked him, "Well, where you come from? What you been doing?" "Oh, I've been going to and fro in all the earth." Well, what was he doing there? Trying to create mischief. He's trying to take down mankind. He's trying to feed them lies and to get them to turn away from God. It's exactly what he's doing. He's still doing the same thing today. He's going around seeking whom he may devour. He's like that lion that goes around seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for a soft spot. He's looking for somebody that's out on the fringes. It's not really walking close to God, but they're on the edge. Well, yeah, but they're not really with the flock. He's looking for that outsider, the one that's out there in a place of danger. And so that's what he was doing. And then imagine this. It's like he tells the devil, he said, "Sig him. There's Job. Look at this. He's a perfect man. He's a man that's walking upright. Sig him. Go after him." It's like, God, what are you doing? Think about it. He's a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. "Have you considered my servant Omer? Have you considered my servant Doug? Have you considered, you know..." Satan had free access to Job within certain perimeters. He could only go so far to try to prove God wrong and that Job was serving God from wrong motives. And that's what Satan does. He's traveling all over the earth to try to mess up mankind, to try to mess with your mind, just like Eve when she was standing there. In fact, I'm going to get into that in a minute. And now I'd like to look at a parallel. This is very, very important. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9a, the first part of that. It said, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Notice the parallel. Here's the devil. He's out there running to and fro all over the earth, trying to mess people up. And the Spirit of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord, is a reference to the Holy Spirit, who is also going to and fro throughout all the earth, looking to help and empower and strengthen those whose hearts are loyal or faithful to God and are trying to please Him. Okay, so I don't have a lot of strength, but I'm wanting to please God. I want to seek God. My heart is towards God. And I don't really have the strength in myself. And I'll tell you something. You cannot serve God in your own strength. You cannot walk for God in your own strength. It takes the power of the Lord within you to give you the strength to walk with Him. And so as we make a choice and take that step, I want to serve God. I'm going to serve God. Lord, with your help, the Holy Spirit is right there to quicken you, to strengthen you, to give you the power, to give you the ability, to give you the wherewithal. And when you need a word, He's right there with that word of God that will meet that need that you have. And that's why it's important that we need to be into the Word of God all the time. We need to be studying the Word and everything. Because that way the Holy Spirit's got something He can pull up and use with us. I don't know how many times that I've been going through a struggle or going through something. And all of a sudden, here was the Lord. The Holy Spirit was right there. He brought up this Word of God. And you quote that. You say it out loud. And it goes against the devil. There's power in the Word of God. His Word will not return void. When you speak out that Word that He has given you to help you in that time, in that need, you have the strength to be able to accomplish what God wants you to do and be the person that God wants you to be. Hallelujah. So that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's looking to help and empower those whose hearts are faithful to Him. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin came into the human race. And I want to talk a little bit about the blame game. I call it the blame game. I want to just share just a little bit about that this morning. The blame game. What is so important about the blame game? So when Adam and Eve sinned, I believe that Adam and Eve were clothed in light like a garment when they were walking with God. They were holy. They were clothed in light. But when Adam and Eve sinned, all of a sudden that was gone and they recognized that they were naked. And so when God came to walk with them in the garden in the evening, Adam and Eve were hiding. And they had sewn some kind of garment with fig leaves that they put on to try to cover their nakedness. So God said, Adam, where are you? And so finally, you know, the truth comes out. And He said, have you eaten that from the tree, the knowledge of good and evil? I told you you're not to eat from. So what did He say? He said, the woman that you gave me. The woman that you gave me. See, it's not my fault, Lord. It's the woman that you gave me. She's the one that inspired me to do this. The woman that you gave me. Huh. Well, that might sound okay from the man's standpoint. The blame game. So you blame it on someone else. I'm going through difficulties. I'm going through troubles. I'm a dope addict. I'm whatever. And I like to blame it on somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. I don't want to take responsibility for it. And so what happened to Eve then? What have you done? Well, the serpent beguiled me. Well, she blames it on the serpent. And I'll tell you something, folks, when it comes right down to it and you stand before God, the blame game is not going to work. It's going to be about you and you alone. What did you do? No, don't blame somebody else. Did Eve take a club and say, Adam, you're going to eat this apple or whatever it was? She didn't have the ability to do that, even if she wanted to. He took it willingly. And so it's going to be the same way. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to have to give an account of what our own actions. The blame game, not going to work. Blame game is not going to work. So God gave him a promise in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would come to bring down the enemy. And from the start, Satan has been trying to prevent that from happening. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God provided a way for his only begotten Son to come into the world to provide a perfect sacrifice for sin and make a way for man to come back into fellowship with a holy God. He was the seed of the woman. See, all this time, the devil's been trying, oh, the seed's coming? Ooh. And he's been trying to wipe out the seed. You see, what was it? Adam and Eve, and they had Cain, and they had Abel. And Abel was actually listed in the genealogy. Abel was the one that was supposed to be the seed. It was coming. So what did the devil do? He got Cain to kill him. Wipe him out. So the devil, if you follow right down through history, you'll find out the devil has tried to wipe out the seed of the woman from that point on. Wasn't going to work, was it? Wasn't going to work. Jesus was the seed of the woman. And Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The enemy is constantly trying to get people to believe his lies and turn us away from God. So he's busy traveling to and fro throughout the whole earth to deceive people. He never gives anything that he tells you. He's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. And anything he tells you is going to be a lie. Oh, this will be good for you. You'll really enjoy this. This will be just wonderful. Yeah, right. And you end up really messed up as a result of following his lies. And so he's busy doing that. But at the same time, this Holy Spirit is striving to rescue and strengthen and give hope to ones who will listen and obey. His goal is to strengthen those who are struggling to give you the power you need to overcome the flesh and the devil. And he realized, of course, that the flesh is as big a problem as the devil with us. That's a big problem, the flesh. The devil, almost don't need the devil. The flesh will do the job pretty good. We desire to do the things of the flesh. I'd like you to look at another scripture. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, here it is. The knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You have to know about. You have to learn. You have to study about God. You have to read the Bible. You have to get that down inside of you. And when you proclaim these promises, they're powerful to meet your needs. These promises that God has given us. It's like when God created the heavens and the earth, and He said, "Let there be light." And there was light by His Word that went forth. And when we quote the Word of God that the Holy Spirit gives us when we're going through a difficulty or a problem, that Word will take down the enemy and will give you the strength and the ability to walk for God. Hallelujah. You can count on it. His Word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which He purposed. And so you need to use that Word. It's His divine power given all of these. And they're exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. And when applied, these promises strengthen and encourage us in our battle. Because we have freedom of choice, this is important. Because we have freedom of choice, it is our job to choose to serve and love God. When we make that choice, God's power is available to give us that victory and cause us to be successful. Look at John 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right or the power or the ability to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. If we choose to believe the lies of the enemy instead of God's promises, then we've chosen our direction, which leads to eternal death and the lake of fire. See, our big job is to choose. And I was confused about this a number of years ago. I was, "Lord, help me choose." No, you choose. You choose. Joshua said, "You choose. As for me and my house, we've chosen. We're going to serve the Lord." You make the choice, and when you make the choice, then the Holy Spirit steps in and gives you the power and the ability to accomplish that choice. See, you have to make a choice. And you can't walk around out there and say, "Well, I'm not ready to make that choice yet. I got to think about it a little more." But while you're thinking about it and everything or a little bit more, you've already made the choice not to believe God. Because if you believe God, you'd make that choice. You'd step out and believe the Lord. So it automatically places you on the devil's side because you've chosen not to believe what God said. Well, I got to listen a little bit more. Maybe the devil will come up with some more stuff that'll help me through this. No, the devil ain't going to give you anything that's going to help you through. He's going to give you stuff that's going to take you down the wrong direction, down the wrong path. So this belief, this choice that we make, and when we have belief, it has to be accompanied by action on our part. Has to be accompanied by action. You have to put your foot where your mouth is. I'm declaring that God is my Savior and my Redeemer and my King of Kings and everything, and I'm going to walk there.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. It's time to quit playing games and get serious, because it's a dangerous ground when you're going the other direction and you say, "Well, I need a little more time to think about this." No, you don't need more time to think about it. You're on dangerous ground if that's all you're going to do. You can be thinking about it and the Lord can come and you'll miss out. Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. Romans 13. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Yeah. You don't want to even, don't go there. Don't make any provision at all for that. The day's at hand. The night is far spent. It's time to wake up. The Lord's coming soon, and we need to be ready to meet Him. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of love and faith, and as the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Did you know that hell was originally created for the devil and his angels? But it had to be expanded because man just seemed, they had to go there. They just had to go there. It's time to wake up, people. This day, it shouldn't be coming on us like a thief, but it will come upon the world like a thief. It'll come on the world like a thief. But we are supposed to have eyes to see. We're supposed to recognize that we are in these last days, and that it's time that we need to be walking with God, and we need to be ready. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 53. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh and blood's not going to go there. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we won't just die and go to the graves, even though we're Christian, okay? But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And we're going to be like Jesus' body was. Do you know how fast that's going to take place? You know how fast the twinkling of an eye is? It's faster than a blink. You know, you can blink your eye. That's pretty fast. The twinkle, or the twink, is the amount of time it takes light to enter the eye, reflect off the retina, and be seen. With light traveling at 386,000 miles per hour, that means the twinkle is about 1/6 of a billionth of a second.
Wow.
That's pretty fast. Our bodies are going to be changed that quick. 1/6 of a billionth of a second. We're changed. Almost, we're changed into His likeness. Hallelujah. That's how fast God will change our bodies. Do you think you would have time to change your mind and accept Christ? Oh, I'm sure there's some people, you know, that would say, oh, God, just give me 5 more minutes. I'll get right with you. Or even a minute, Lord, I'll get right with you. No, doesn't work that way. Sorry. Do you think the devil and his angels would have the time or the ability to keep the rapture from happening? You know, I'm sure the devil would love to keep that from happening. But it's going to happen so fast, it'll be by him and past him before he even has a chance to even breathe. And he's going, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. It's going to be fast, folks. It's going to be really fast. There was a song back in the 60s, maybe early 70s, that was popular and had an important message. Part of it went like this. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. I'll tell you, folks, you don't want to be left behind. That would be one scary, scary, scary deal. The Lord is coming soon, and we need to be ready to meet Him. This was speaking about the rapture of the church and the need to be ready so you don't get left behind. To be ready, you have to choose. In recent years, the message has been downplayed, not too popular, because people don't want to be reminded of the truth of that message, because it would require them to do something about it. You know, if we really believe that the Lord could come just like that, you know, and we'd be up, we'd be gone. We really believe that. You have to do something. You can't just stay here and you're like you've been staying. You know, you got to be ready. This is something you have to prepare in advance. And you won't have time when that happens. It would be a very, very scary thing to be in that particular situation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, it's going to happen soon. It's going to happen very suddenly. I remember just shortly after I was saved, I had a dream. I was working in a building that had red brick walls and everything, and all of a sudden the Lord was coming. I could see right through the ceiling, and I started to go up. Before I got very far, you know, the dream was over and everything. But I don't know. I just sensed that maybe I'm going to be around here long enough without going to the grave or something, that I'm going to go up in the rapture. I'd rather do it that way. I'd rather do it that way myself. But we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Comfort one another with these words. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 said, behold what manner of the love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. Now we're children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Remember when Peter and James and John went up on the mountain? You know, with Jesus, and He was transfigured before them. He was light, bright, shining. You know, it's going to be a little bit like that. And our lives are going to be different, man. Our bodies, man, well, for one thing, we're going to be taking an airplane trip we don't need an airplane to take. We're going up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. And it's going to happen very suddenly and very quickly. But we're going to, when he is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll see Him as He is. And when we see Him as He is, we're going to be like Him. Hallelujah. We're going to have heavenly bodies. No more pains. No more walking around with a cane or a crutch. Yeah. All this stuff's going to be gone, man. We're going to have wonderful bodies, tremendous bodies. Hallelujah. That we've never experienced before. And it's going to be absolutely awesome. So we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Let's look in Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 through 16. And He said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now in the book of Daniel, this book was sealed till the times of the end, okay? But this book, He said, do not seal the words or the prophecy of this book for the time is at hand. It's right here. It's right at the door. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. See, this is talking about status quo. What's going on in your life out there? He who is unjust, let him be unjust. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. You see, you won't have time to change your mind. You won't have time to go from this stage to this stage. This is all going to all have to happen prior. We're going to have to be ready ahead of time. Hallelujah. And so, if you want to live in that state, you want to be unjust, that's what you'll be when the Trump happens. You'll be unjust. Or if you're going to be filthy and walk in that lifestyle, that's what you'll be like at that point. And there won't be no changing it. The time will be too late. But if you're righteous or if you're holy, that's what you're going to be. Hallelujah. And that's what's going to see you through. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. They're out. They're out. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. So he is testified, this is truth. This is reality. There's a place also it says over there in Revelation. He said, if you take, change the words or take the words out or add to these words, man, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because all of these things will come on you that's talking about happening to the world. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. Are you ready to meet the Lord? He's given us warning after warning, and we need to pay attention. Today is the day of salvation. Proverbs 18:21 puts it this way: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You get to determine your destiny. Did you know that? You get to determine your destiny. You can choose God and go with Him. You've chosen your destiny. Or you can choose to disbelieve God and go the other way. You've chosen your destiny. You see, you won't go to hell because somebody made me go there. No, you've chosen to go there because of not choosing God. Romans 10, 8 to 10. How difficult is this? How difficult? Romans 10, 8 to 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And to those who are ready to meet the Lord, I want to say that when that thing happens, there won't be any more time to earn any more rewards. You know, it'd be bad to go to heaven. I mean, it sure would be good to get there. I'm not saying that. But it would be very embarrassing to you, especially, if you made it up there and you just got in by the skin of your teeth and you didn't have any rewards at all. And the Lord, everyone else will be having rewards and you don't have any rewards. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I don't want to go to heaven in that state. I do not want to go to heaven in that state. Fire is going to try your work. Some of it may be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burned up. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burned up. So we need to be careful what we're building on our lives. We need to be listening to the Word of God. We need to be applying the Word of God. We need to be applying the promises of God. We need to live according to what God is showing us. And God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. Every single one. God has a plan and a purpose for us, for our lives. And it'll be good. It'll be good. It'll be just exactly what is right for you. It'll fit you like a glove. It'll fit you just like a glove. John 5, verses 28 through 30. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So there's going to be two resurrections, a resurrection of life and a resurrection of condemnation. One will be the marriage supper of the Lamb and what's going on out there, the judgment, the righteous people. And the other one will be the white throne judgment for the ones who have done evil. And then 1 John 2:28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I would sure love to have something that's going to be up there for me. It's important to get there. That's the number one thing. We need to get there. And we get there by making a decision which road we're going to follow. We're going to follow the wide way that's broad. There's a lot of people on it, and they're going to the bad place. Or are you going to go on the straight and narrow? The straight and narrow. And there's few people that find it. Few people that are willing to walk it. Think about eternity. Eternity. In math, they had a deal called infinity. Infinity, okay? And if you divide any number by infinity, the answer was zero. So you think, okay, suppose I were to live 100 years. Okay, that'd be pretty good to live 100 years. But comparison to infinity, comparison to eternity, comes out zero. Zero. Jesus said it this way. He said, it's like a vapor that appears for a moment and is gone. That's what our life is like. It's a vapor. It just happens for a moment and it's gone. Why not make it count? Why not? We want to go there. We want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. We need to be ready. And why don't we make this life count? So that when we get over there, there's going to be something there for us. And we won't be embarrassed at his coming. I'd hate to stand before the Lord and said, well, I'm sorry, but you have no reward. So, you know, I'd hate to be in that seat. So it's things we need to consider. And one of the big things is that we need to make the decision. It's a decision that we have to make. It's a choice that we make. Everything revolves around that decision. So am I going to be ready to meet the Lord? Have I made my choice? Am I ready so that if the Lord were to come like that, I'd be ready and I would go? Or have I neglected to make that choice, and I'm just kind of enjoying life down here and everything, and doing my own thing, and not doing what God called me to do. I'm just doing my own thing. It could be good things, could be things in the church. But if it's not what God calls you to do, it's just wood, hay, and stubble. Father, we look to you this morning. Lord, we've heard your word. And we want to be ready. We want to be ready. Lord, we don't want to be like those who are going to be missed out on that day when you come. I pray, God, that you would strengthen your people, that you would help us, Lord, for us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're ready to meet you, so that we don't miss out, Lord, on the great things that you have for us. Lord, help us not to listen to the lies of the enemy. I pray that we would learn to walk in the Spirit. For the Spirit is right there to help us. He's walking to and fro throughout the earth to show himself mighty in behalf of us. Help us to trust him. Help us to pay attention to him and not turn him off. Help us not to grieve him. Lord, we just want you in our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that you would have your way, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you.